A house is a massive purchase. People still want to know and see what they're getting before it's out of the ground. I mean, I don't think the build guys get an easy ride whatsoever. So I think it's getting people to accept the depth of work that goes into creating these assets. But we know that when we list direct, the number of leads we get through is better, the quality of leads we get through is better because we have greater control.
Welcome to the New Homes Podcast. In this episode, I speak with Danica Clements, Group Marketing Director at Acorn Property Group. At a time when budgets are becoming increasingly stretched, we discuss whether the traditional approach to sales and marketing budgets still works and how changing technologies are impacting on the levels of budget required to achieve off-plan sales. We hope you enjoy the conversation, and if you'd like to hear more about the sales and marketing of new homes, don't forget to hit subscribe. So Danica, you're currently the marketing director at Acorn, mm-hmm. previously with HAB and with David Wilson. Mm-hmm. And I'm really keen, so today we're going to talk all about marketing budgets. Yep. And I'm keen to talk about your real world experiences, but also to talk in a more idealistic world. If we had a blank canvas, how could and should marketing budgets look for house builders? So let's jump straight in. What are the ripple effect of marketing budget cuts?
Okay, so they're not cuts as such that we've been experiencing. It's more restrictions. And I think with budgets as they're sorted out now, obviously land prices are more expensive. Working for a smaller house builder, we don't have a big bank of strategic land. So we're buying land sort of more now at market prices. You've got supplies, subcontractor cost increases. So all of those to contend with. Which is then pushing the sales prices up. Mm. And then within all that, we need to fit the marketing budget. And so we're just having to work really hard to get the best value for our money, really. Mm. But with everything more digitally led now, there is a lot more opportunity. But it feels like sometimes on a number of our sites, our budgets aren't just stretching as much as we'd like them to move forward with all the technological advancements that we could be taking advantage of.
Mm. And it's, I mean, we hear it regularly, like land, they can chop millions off land prices, yeah. but try and get another few grand for some CGIs or whatever can yeah. be harder. But so typically, so the typical marketing budget can range anything between 0.5% and if you're lucky, 3%, maybe a bit more if you're really lucky.
Well, I don't think I've ever seen 3%.
One day. What percent of GDV do you feel is ideal for a marketing budget?
So looking at ours at the moment, we obviously we have a lot of smaller sites. I think the smallest we are working on at the moment is about 6 units. And then we go up to 150, 200 units. And as a kind of general rule, I've been looking at that I've been presented with about 0.5%. Mm-hmm. And so really, I could be making it work better at about just over 1%. Mm. So I'm never going to say, oh, I would want, 5% and we could just do everything because it just wouldn't work like that, although RCGIs would look awesome. So something just over 1% I think would work better for us anyway. I know that will depend on, the different size of developer you are as well. From us being a smaller developer, we're not tied into any group contracts. We like to work with people that we like working with and that like working with us. So we build our relationships up that way. So that means that we don't necessarily have as good buying power from the marketing side as you would with a larger PLC because we haven't kind of got this massive contract in place with one supplier as such.
So I think there's this perception that every housebuilder wants to sell off plan, almost. Yeah. I don't understand the ones that don't, but there we go. Mm-hmm. And the desire for that, understandably, it underpins your sales position to allow you to move on to the next site. There is a belief, I feel, I know we've discussed this previously, that off-plan selling is cheaper and should be more cost-effective. How does a desire for off-plan sales in your mind affect the marketing budget?
Yeah. So Acorn Property Group is all about off-plan sales. Some of our sites sell really far in advance off plan without needing an awful lot of marketing because of the location. A lot of our sites down in Cornwall do that, which is fantastic. But then I think sometimes it's looked at in the way that you said, you know, you're not going to need a show home, so we can take that out of your budget. But people still, you know, a house is a massive purchase. People still want to know and see what they're getting before it's out of the ground. The larger PLCs have standard house types. So if you're looking for a particular three bed that's not out of the ground yet, you might be able to go to a site 10 miles down the road and go walk around the show home. Whereas with us, every development is different. We don't have standard house types. So we don't have the luxury of that approach. So we then are leaning more on CGIs, fly-throughs, walkthroughs, anything that we can do to bring, we have to bring this vision to life to get people to commit.
Yeah, and I suppose, I mean, show homes are expensive, but then actually once you start to produce a lot of CGIs, you're probably actually at a higher price than what a show home would cost. But ultimately, if it delivers on the business plan to sell off plan, then it's needed. And as you say, I think there's a there's this misconception that off plan, you know, you don't need show home, you don't need signage or whatever. We can, great, we can sell it all and we just need the drawings and maybe the odd CGI. But I think, you know, as you're quite rightly saying, today's market, you know, buyers want more information than ever to be able to make a decision. And CGI costs are reducing. But yeah, I think we've, I suppose there's a mindset change required. Do you feel that's kind of from the top down, or are there certain individuals in the organisation that you feel?
I think it is probably from the top down. I think just in general, I don't think people are like fully against it and don't understand it whatsoever. But I think it is just coming around to this new way of thinking, you know, like we still haven't really done a development without doing a printed brochure. Yet we've done the hybrid brochure with you, but we still need the printed element. So it's just getting people to think about things a bit differently. I mean, with the show home, although you've got the show home, you can still only do so much with that because you've only still got one house type and one set of images. We can demonstrate the build quality, the specification, which is great. But we can't use it to sell all of the houses. So you still need all the digital assets as well. So I think, you know, the marketing budget is growing, really, not going the other way.
Yeah, and I suppose also the challenge with off-plan is whenever you have a really hot site and you've got that appetite for off-plan sales in the market, you want to sell them as early as you can, of course. But quite often the detail still isn't nailed down and you can end up, you know, sometimes even before you start creating CGIs, selling houses and there's still layout changes happening, which then means from a cost point of view, you've got to go back and redo stuff. You know, if you've got gone to the extent of doing CGIs really early doors, so it then becomes even more costly because you're selling earlier than perhaps you should be. And I suppose maybe there's a, maybe there is an ideal time to launch off plan and, but, you know, I get it. You know, if you've got the buyers there, you want to sell to them.
Yeah, I mean, we've had it. We're having it actually more and more frequently on our sites where, you know, we've signed off CGIs or we've signed off floor plans. Everyone's checked them. And at that point, they have been correct. But then we're building them and things have changed, you know, possibly from a specification point of view, probably possibly from a value engineering point of view. And we're having to go back and change them and reissue them. And then we're kind of trying to come up with a process where, you know, we can still demonstrate that we know what we're talking about. We don't want to look silly in front of the customers where we're like, oh, well, it, you know, it doesn't actually look like that anymore.
Yeah. And then I suppose coming back to budgets, there's a, you know, from value engineering point of view, to bring build costs down, well, let's not do this and change that. Marketing budget hasn't changed, but you've now got to go back and update all the CGIs, whatever. And
And I think that's going to, you know, I don't think that will change because, you know, construction costs are obviously always going to be like way bigger. So I don't think they're going to really listen to me when I say, well, can you not change that? Because I'm going to have to change my CGI now.
And I suppose it's probably harder. I mean, sort of focusing on off plan, I think there are so many more opportunities now as to where you can spend your money. So whereas before, you'd have had an architect's drawing and a printed brochure and then maybe some newspaper advertising. Now, you know, if you really want to make a deal of off-plan selling, there's a lot of advertising opportunities. Yeah. You know, you could do coming soon campaigns on the portals, you could do print advertising, digital advertising, out of home.
Yeah.
And you can gobble your marketing budget up pretty quickly just on an off-plan marketing campaign, which then doesn't leave a lot, you know, if it turns out there isn't an appetite for off-plan for a particular development, it doesn't leave a lot left then for
campaign. Yeah, I think the spend up front now is a lot more weightier than it used to be. And I think it's kind of the marketing team, it's changing the way they think as well. Like when I first started, it was your print advertising and your CGIs and your site plan and your floor plans. And then that was kind of it. But now you need to kind of put more trust, I think, in whoever you're using in the creative agency to kind of present them the project as a whole, as opposed to saying, okay, so we've got this much, so we're to spend. We're looking at around 5 different house types. So we need externals for this and internals for this. We need to then give the agency more trust so that they can show us really how we can sell the development as a whole. And I think that's where our thinking needs to change as well.
Yeah, and I suppose, I mean, speaking candidly from an agency point of view, it's very rare that we'll have a client come to us and say, right, here's our budget, what can we do with it? It's very much a game of cat and mouse. And that, from our point of view, it means that we can get you a better result because you can say, look, this is what we've got to spend. How do we maximise this budget? And then using your knowledge of the market and our expertise of marketing, together we can come up with the best solution. And I think that's where like the client agency relationship can really be of benefit. But one day we'll be told a budget. And then, so where build costs have the ability to flex, which is simply accepted. From our experience, the marketing budget always appears to be more heavily scrutinized. Have you found the same, and why do you think this is the case?
Yeah, I don't think the build guys get an easy ride whatsoever.
They can have their own podcast to defend. Yeah.
But from a marketing point of view, I think it's the understanding. People see images or brochures and they, you know, perhaps don't comprehend how much effort and how many layers there are to each of those things. I think because the images and fly-throughs look so polished in the end, sometimes I think they can appear to people like, oh, it's really easy to change, when obviously we know that it's really not. So I think it's getting people to accept the depth of work that goes into creating these assets.
Yeah, and I think interestingly, from our point of view, whenever we've picked up a problem site, so developers come to us and said, we've got a site, all stock, hasn't sold. Or a sticky site where they're not getting the sales rate they like. It appears as though, you know, that 0.5% budget that was there at the start, that's gone out the window, and suddenly this magic money tree's popped up and, you know, we'll do whatever it takes to sell it. And I think it's such a shame, because if that magic money tree existed at the start, and I know it's never ideal, but if that, you know, if there was that appreciation, that understanding for, okay, actually we do need to spend money on marketing, then I think it would result in far less problem developments.
Yeah.
Because we tend to find that the ones that got the problems are either where the marketing budget either hasn't been there or it's been spent totally ineffectively.
I think marketing teams now, or from our point of view anyway, are being listened to more at the very beginning of when the budgets are being put together, which is at the point of land acquisition. There were times where we never got consulted about, you know, what our budget was going to be. We just got given it. And, you know, we'd be looking at like 15 grand for an entire marketing budget. So, well, what do you expect that we're going to get from that for, you know, maybe 20 odd units? So I think there is more consideration now, but I think it is the outlay at the beginning that you need to get right. Mm. And you need to be able to kind of forecast as far possible into the future, really, how far this spend is going to get you.
Just a quick one. This podcast is brought to you by Antler Agency. If you'd like to discuss the sales and marketing or PR for your new homes, get in touch today.
So as things stand at the moment, what's the lion's share of your marketing budget generally spent on? And has that changed a lot over the last 5 years?
So from an Acorn perspective, it varies. Some of our sites we still work with agents on. So we will fully instruct an agent. And when we do that, they will list on portals for us. When we don't, and we want to deal with all the sales direct, which, you know, we've grown a lot quickly in the last few years. We've got a really established sales team, sales managers, sales advisors. So there's no reason really why we can't be selling a lot of our product direct now. We never used to have show homes and show complexes. We've got a lot of those now. But for us to list on Rightmove, for example, as a small developer, because we don't have as many developments as the larger PLCs, can cost between £4,000 and £5,000 a month per development. And that kills us straight away. Mm. Whereas with, you know, when we list with the agents, they do that for us. But we know that when we list direct, the number of leads we get through is better. Mm. The quality of leads we get through is better because we have greater control over our listings, and the purchaser can see from the beginning what brand they're buying into. Mm. So portal costs are a very contentious issue. I say portal costs, it is Rightmove.
And have you done any testing to see how, from an Acorn point of view, how a development sells if you remove that portal cost? So have you attempted off-plan sales or sales of large development?
With our some of our sites in Cornwall, we haven't needed to go on to Rightmove. And we have only done it direct once, I think, down there. And that was obviously a great saving. But most of the time, you know, the majority of our leads do come from Rightmove. Mm. And I think, you know, they are, whilst people do go on other portals, we do advertise on other portals, we get leads from other portals. I think the bulk does still come from Rightmove, and they have the monopoly, really.
Yeah, because I think Rightmove's great. You've got an active market.
Yeah.
People on Rightmove, hopefully, are looking to move. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you'd hope that the quality of lead is far better. But, you know, we found it where we can test the market first before committing to portal spend. Mm-hmm. And we'll always have, you know, in a timeline when we're looking at marketing strategy, so this is the budget, what channels are we going to use? The portals will always be considered, of course, but we tend to kind of have a moment in the timeline where it's like, right, now's the time to go on the portals.
Yeah.
And I think, interestingly, where previously we would always have said, get onto the portals with a coming soon campaign, we're tending to find that isn't always the case at the moment. And we've had a few developments quite recently where we've actually done very well with a coming soon campaign off the portals. Mm. We've ended up going to the portals at a later date, but it allows you to spend that budget over a far greater length of period rather than swallowing it all up in portals up front.
Yeah.
I think it needs to be part of a strategy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And how's that changed then over the last sort of 5 years? What you were doing 5 years ago, it was more print-led?
Yeah, I mean, print, we have, you know, I don't think we ever advertise in newspapers now. And I know, you know, some of our agents still do a little bit, but definitely not as much. Because of the type of product we sell and in the locations we sell, we do still advertise in lifestyle magazines. Mm-hmm. Because quite often we are selling to people who aren't from the area either. So if they're visiting in coffee shops or things like that, then they're the types of magazines that people like to flick through. Mm. But it is more on your portals, PPC advertising. We don't tend to do so much paid social. the lead quality just isn't there for us. And I think we're sort of changing restrictions on how you can target people, although it makes people's, experience of using sort of socials better, so you're not being served scary ads every 5 minutes. The targeting isn't as good for us anymore. I think the ability to track performance through digital activity is obviously far better than you'll be able to do through anything to do with print. From our own website, from building up our own databases, email marketing, text marketing, just being able to target more, I think, moves you further and further away from print advertising.
So in this ideal world, if budgets didn't exist, so as a marketeer, if you had an endless budget or a much larger budget, where would you like to spend money, which your current budgets just don't stretch to at the moment? And be that because you know there's opportunity in there, but you haven't got the spend, or you just like to try it just out of interest?
Yeah, I think, bringing a development more to life. So perhaps through VR, but making sure that we don't lose the quality, because I know we can get more for our money, but we just don't want to lose that quality. Because I think people take, what they're shown is a given for what they're actually going to get at the end of the day. I also think tying up for us anyway, tying up the assets with what is demonstrated and used in the marketing suites as well, better to give the customer more of a smooth journey from the point of them having a look at us online to coming into the marketing suite to get the same kind of journey and experience. So I think being able to just show a fuller picture of the development as a whole prior to it being built. I know we can't show absolutely everything. And I think being able to do it at different stages as well, because we're not going to want to be able to show everyone everything when they're just sat in front of their computer, because we don't want them to, make up their mind on their own. We want them to talk to us and just nurture them through that and work with them on the way through that.
Yeah, and I suppose that's the danger, isn't it, of when you've got all the information and it's served all online. That's what we all want.
Yeah.
We all want the information to be able to make a decision, but what you want as a sales organization is to be able to get them in and sell to them. And I suppose that's the battle, isn't it? And are there any sort of advertising ideas or campaigns or channels that you'd like to be able to trial that perhaps budgets don't allow for at the moment?
I think more video and fly through. And I think perhaps more microsites perhaps. But I think that with a small marketing team, like, a lot of it is down to resource, and getting everything to flow through and tie together.
And as so Acorn, feel free to tell me if I should mind my own business, but do you have a budget for brand?
We don't as such, no. Not that is presented to us.
Okay.
We obviously have a need to spend money on brand, but as and when, we just need to go and ask for it, really, and justify it.
So it's quite interesting. I don't think there's many house builders that are in a different position to you. I think where each development has its own P&L and a marketing budget, there then isn't one at kind of brand level above that. And I do think that hamstrings some house builders who, if they had a budget for brand and a budget to build the awareness around the brand rather than these pop-up developments that then kind of come up and then die, not die, but go away. if house builders were to be able to invest more in brand, I do think that sales would be easier.
Yeah.
Because you've got that strong brand behind you. Does it frustrate you that you don't have a dedicated brand budget, or do you find that if there's a need, it's generally satisfied?
Generally, if there's a need, then it's satisfied. I just think that, maybe if we did have a budget, we could perhaps think of things at a higher level rather than, and a more proactive level rather than reactive. I think that would help.
And are there any things at brand that you'd love to do that, let's say you had no, an endless budget. Are there any things at brand level that you'd like to do right now?
Sponsor Glastonbury. That would be fun for everyone.
Is that because you get free tickets?
Maybe.
So just some big things then.
Yeah.
So it's a big, yeah, big sort of PR-led and event-led.
Yeah, I think, you know, as a company, you know, we do see the value in kind of networking and building the brand through, you know, through talking to humans, really, rather than just, you know, plastering our name everywhere. But I think sometimes it's difficult to justify a spend if we can't directly say, if we do this, we're going to get X amount more sales.
But what I find fascinating is if you look at particular consumer brands, they will spend a lot of money on brand-led campaigns. And,
yeah.
you know, there's some really, really cool stuff going on with like billboards and out of home and using PR with creative to drive awareness.
Yeah.
And there's so much opportunity, I think, in the house builder space to be able to do that. For the house builder that is brave enough to put their hand in their pocket and come up with a fairly chunky budget, to kind of stand out in what's quite a safe space, because there isn't that level of spend or appetite for brand. I think the national house builders are positioned quite nicely to be able to do that. So excellent. So to close, you are planning to buy a new home. Anyone can do your viewing for you. So you turn up at the door, you can pick anyone in the world that you like to do the viewing. You get to spend an hour with them, walk around the house, get to know them. Who would you pick and why?
All I can think of is Noel Fielding, for some reason, who I think would possibly not be a great salesperson. I think he'd be able to, I think he'd be really enthusiastic about the house, so he might be able to convince you.
Yeah.
I think I'd want to get him to perhaps create some art in the new home.
Cool.
Maybe there would be a way that way.
Very good, very good. Danica, thank you very much for your time. It's been very, very interesting to get your insight into marketing budgets. You know, it's a conversation we could probably talk about for a long time. But yeah, really impressed. You know, even with the 0.5% budget that you've got, you know, you do amazing things at Acorn. And it's great to have you as a client as well.
Great, thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to hear more about the sales and marketing of new homes, don't forget to hit subscribe today.